Yag Vayavor. We only have a few weeks left. I imagine a lot of the time is going to be Yag Vayavor. There's a lot to do here. It's an important topic to know. It comes up in many places in Shas. It's good to have a good hold on it. And it's going to take a lot of time. I think we're going to go through a lot of these Rishonim inside because they're difficult, they're challenging. So I think we're going to read inside Tosfos. It's a long Tosfos, but read it inside line by line just to get it down clear. The Tosfos in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis is the big one. So just to recap quickly, the basic dinim of Yag Vayavar, which we have, is the big three, the Gimel Averos, you could never violate. You always give your life up, no matter if it's public or in private. You must sacrifice your life for Gimel Averos, Gilei Raos, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. Now, for Hesya and Shas Shmad, when there's additional pressure, even because it's the public domain or because it's a very time where the Malchus, the government, is coming down hard on Judaism. So those cases, even a mitzvah kala, one must sacrifice his life. What a mitzvah kala is, hopefully we'll come back to in another shir. So even those mitzvah kalas, one must give up their life in those two realms, the Pharhesia and Shashmar. And then the Gemara goes on to have this question about Esther. So the Gemara says, why was Esther permitted to be with Achashverosh? Wasn't that a case of Pharhesia? And Pharhesia is a case that even a mitzvah kala, even a small mitzvah, one must give their life up. Esther should have given her life up because it was a public case. Everyone knew about her in Achashverosh. So Abaye says, no, Esther was permitted because Esther is Karka Olam. Esther did not do a Maisa. How exactly to define Karka Olam? That's also a discussion hopefully we'll get to. Comes along Rava. Rava says, no, the reason why it was Mutter was Hanas Atzmon. Achashverosh didn't do it to make her violate and be kofir on Yadus. He did it for his own personal Hana. The Rishonim argue, debate whether or not Abaye and Rava agree with each other, where they both, these are two valid reasons, Karka Olam Hanas Atma, or they're actually mutually exclusive. So on this Gemara, Tosa says, before you even get to the answers, when the Gemara says, Vaha Esther for Hesyehavya, Esther was a case, it was a public case, everyone knew about it, Tema, Tosa doesn't understand, that Havale Lakshuye Arayos Have, Diritzeach Venarim Rasa Lukhuy Ama Yar Vayavor. The Gemara should have asked differently. Wait a second. Esther was married to Mordechai. We all know the drasha that Mordechai and Esther married. If Mordechai and Esther married, so she's an Eishes Ish, the Gemara should have said that is Gilei Raos. And Gilei Raos, forget it being in public. Even if nobody knew who Achashverosh was married to, it should have been a case of Yag Vayavar. Ukamokain, Kasha Beresh Ksubis. A similar type of question appears. The Gemara in Ksubis that Gimel and Beis writes to us. The Amar Deikat Snus de Masri Nafshayu, Uparch Lijush Lahut de Onesh Shari, Umai Kusha Hashapi Avdin de Masri Nafshayu Mishum Gilei Raos. So a similar type of question appears. The Gemara in Ksubis. Those of you who did Ksubis, were you guys in Ksubis? No, you guys were all in Israel of Ksubis. You were here. Oh, you were a senior. That's when they did the first year of Leif Shlomo. You remember? Who shir were you in? You don't remember it? This is the famous stuff. Sorry to put the pressure on you. But no, this is good stuff. It's a similar Tosos to the Tosos here that appears in Gilel and Beis. So I understand. The Gemara asked such a very strange question. It was Gilei Arayos, and that's why Esther should have given her life up. Comes along Tosos. Rabbeinu Tam gives the following answer. Rabbeinu Tam says, V'tir Rabbeinu Tam, de'ein chayovim misa al bilas oved kochavim. You don't get killed for having bia with a non-Jew. Why? Mishum derachmana afgerei lezarei de ovid kochavim. The Torah already is mafkir, the children of goyim. It's put in hefker. There's no yichus. There's no genealogy. There's no connection between father and son. And he brings me a raya. He says kedamrinan beperak nosin al ha'anusa. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us dechsiv zeramta susim zeramtim. V'toch kach hayarotza. Because of that, Rabbeinu Tam's klal is as follows: that bia with an akum, it's not chayv misa. You're not chayv misa for bia with an akum. Now that's a whole nother discussion. There's a discussion later on, daf pei aleph from beis pei beis from aleph. I think it is the famous sugya of Pinchas kanim pogimbo. Right? What's kanim pogimbo? There are a few. The Mishnah lists three examples where a kanai is able to kill the violator. Hagone v'sakisva, someone who steals klei sharis. Kalim in the Mishnah, in the base of Megdash. Vamakal Bakosin, someone who curses Hashem in the name of Avodah Zarah. And Aboel Aramis, someone who has bia with a non-Jewish woman. All those three, the halach is konim pogimbo, that a kanai, someone who sees this, observes this, is allowed to take din into his own hands and kill these three individuals. So there the Gemara goes on to discuss what exactly is the issur of Boel Aramis having relations with a guy. So there's a discussion: does it only apply b'farhesia? Is there an iser also in b'tzina? And that Rishon will get into here in our sugya. So writes Rabbeinu Tam: there's no chiyuv misa for having relations with a guy. And how does he know this? Because the Gemara quotes in Yuvamos. Everyone's clear on that so far? And because of that klal, writes Rabbeinu Tam, he wrote to Rabbeinu Tam lahatir bas Yisrael shehimira, a bas Yisrael who was off the derech, uba'aleh over kochavim, and while off the derech, she had relations with a goy. Vishuv nisgayer, then she converted, he converted with her, she came back into the fold, and he converted. The kaima biyadis, allowed to be married with each other. This is talking about a married woman here. So what's the halacha? The Gemara is the Psukim and Sotin, Parshas Nasa, talk about a husband and wife. A woman has an affair, has relations with another man. So if she does that, so beyond that being Chiv Misa, and let's say there's no Edim, there's no Hasra, and let's say it was the time that there's no Sota, they didn't have enough proof to give a Sota, there's no Edim for the Sota, but everyone, it's Yadua there, they had a relation. So what's the halacha? The wife is now usher to the Boel, the one she had relations with, and she's also to the Baal, the one she was currently married to. So therefore, she has to divorce her husband, and she cannot marry the man who she had an affair with. Okay? Echa le Boel, echa le Baal. She ushered to the Boel, and echa le Baal. Says Rabbeinu Tam, in this case, that's only true when there was a ma'isabia with another individual. But since we don't recognize a ma'isabia with a guy, so this halach of echelabal won't apply. Having, if a woman has, a married woman has relations with a guy, that will not make her usher to her husband. And it also, if she divorces her husband and this guy converts, she will not be usher to this guy. She's allowed to marry this guy when he converts. That's the rule. Now this is another discussion. In Tosus and Ksubis, there's an opinion out there that says, I think it was the Maharik, maybe the Maharit it was, who says this would be a violation even with a goy. Even if you tell me that having relations with a goy is not considered a bia, it's still going to apply the halacha of ech lebol ech lebal. Because ech lebol ech lebal is not about a maisa bia. It's about merit. It's about ma'al. It's about betraying your husband. So although it might not have been an act of ma'isabia, it was still a betrayal. And that betrayal is enough to forbid her to her husband and to forbid her to the Boel. That's what the Maharik says. But that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, okay, she was married, Esther was married, that's fine, she was an Eshes-ish, married to Mordechai, but having relations with Achashverosh, who of course was a goy, is not considered a bia, it's like a bias behema, and therefore, no need to give her life up. But then comes along the Gemara, but it was still before Hesia. Once it's in public, so even though it's not one of the Arayos, still she should give her life up. So comes along a Bai Rava, give their answers. But that's the cloud of Rabbeinu Tam, that B.S. Akum is not a Bia. Everyone with me on that? That's clear so far? Comes along the second opinion, the Rivam, Rav Yitzchak, Bar Mordechai. He asks a number of questions on the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. He says, first of all, he says, Dal Karachach B.V.S. Akum Nesher Labal. Nope. The married woman has relations with a guy, she does become usher to her husband. Kidamrina Hasum, this is Gemara says in Ksubas to Ika Pruchos to Parakisha in his Armula, Gabi Haisha Shinech Bishabi the Akum. A woman got captured by non Jews. Aidena Fashos, Asur Labal. If she was captured by non Jews who there was concern they may have killed her, we assume she's usher to her Baal. Why? She ushered her Baal, because we assume if she was captured, so the Mestama, she was violated, and she was violated by Goyim. But still, since she was violated, it was a Bias Akum, that still generates an Issa to her Baal, to her husband. So we see clearly. Even though it was passive. Yeah, Bias Akum is going to be, will make it Usher. The passive only gets out of why she doesn't have to give her life up.
So everyone agrees that Esther was Usher to Mordechai.
No, not the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, because he thinks Bias with a guy, Bias with Achashverosh, didn't create an Isser. Rivam says, based on the Gemara in Ksubis, that we assume a woman who was captured by Goyim who are able to kill and willing to kill, they probably violated her, and she becomes Aser to her husband. But why? Aren't they only Akum? Because Akum is only Behemoth, Rabbeinu Tam. Lamai writes to Rivalm that it does create an Isser. It is recognized as a Bia.
So, of course, on Rivalm, that's another back in
one time. Oh, so we have to figure out how he gets that. We haven't gotten there yet. Right, that's the point. Rivalm can't use Rabbeinu Tam's answer. The Chora, the Bia with Achashverosh, would create an Isser. And forget even Mordechai, she would have to give her life up for it also, because it's Gilei Raos now. So it goes further, Rabbeinu Tam. And he, Avramina Nami Megillah, Mesechus Megillah, Daf Tezvav Amin Aleph, Kasher Vadti Mibes Abba, Kacha Vadti Mimcha. Just like I was lost from the house of my father, I'm also lost to you, Mordechai. Alma Lagavi Baila, Locha Shvina Bias Akum Kibias Behema. So he says to Mordechai, now that I have relations with Achashverosh, so now I'm also to you, Mordechai, I am also to you. So we see the Bia with Goy, Bia with Achashverosh did make her also to her husband. So it is not, it's not considered a Bias Behema, it's considered a real full-fledged Bia, even though it was with a Goy. V'gam l'kahuna nifsels b'viyasa, even she's also going to be disqualified to being married to a Kohen. Afa pishu b'bias Behema, eino nifsels d'ein znus l'behema. Even though if a woman has, the din is, a woman who's a zona, which means to have Bia with another individual who she's not married to, that makes her a zona. A zona is also to a Kohen, possible to a Kohen. If a woman has relations with a behema, that doesn't make her a zona, and she's still mutter to be with a kohen. But he says, when it comes to having be with a goy, that will make her a zona, and it will passel her to a kohen, making their distinction between bias behema and bias akum. Kidamrino in beperek abal yivamta, he brings a gemara in yivamos, dezareh deovi kachavim hu daafkirei rachman alinin chayis, va bias deovi kachavim lo afkirei. The Gemara earlier that Rabbeinu Tam brought as a proof that the Zera of Goyim are Hefker, that only tells us that the children are Hefker. The children have no Chayis, there's no relationship to their parents. But the actual Mice of Bia with a Goy, that's not considered Hefker, that is considered a full-fledged Bia. And once that's true, V'chevin d'nes or l'baal, asur l'baal mivinit b'na b'nitma. And once we've established, once Rivam has proven that he, that this woman would be asur to her husband, so Mimela, she's going to be also asked to the Boel. Right? He brought a Gemara earlier, Ksubas, that if a woman gets captured, she's now asked to her husband. But this Nitma compares the din of Boel, compares the din of Baal. You can never have a distinction. Once an Isser to her husband, Mimela, there's also an Isser to her Boel. Even though he's a Goy and will convert, the Isser still remains. That's the Rivam's opinion. So we could skip the next few lines. He talks about Gemara and Sota as another proof. Now the first Y line in Tosfos, that's where we're standing right now. What comes out right now from the Rivam and Rabbeinu Tam is there's a machlokes, how do you view Bias Akum? Is Bias Akum like a Bias Behema? Or it's like a full-fledged Bia? So, in other words, another way to say it, is it one of the Arayos? And we spoke about this when we spoke at Rodef. Came up in the sugya of Rodef, whether it's considered one of the Arayos. Rashi had a very important formulation on the Mishnah on the Rodef. Tosfos had an important formulation. We saw Tosfos in Yevamos. And L'chora, one nafkamina would be whether one has to give their life up for Bias Akum, whether one has to give their life up for even Bias Behema. All those things come up, whether it's one of the Arayos or not. The Ran here discusses even for Bias Behema. Does one have to give their life up for Bias Behema? We'll get involved in that more. I'm just throwing it out there. We're talking Bias Akum now, but that's one important nekuda that comes out of this. Now, how does Rivam answer the question? So according to Rivam, she was married. Esther was married to Mordechai. She was an Eshes Ish. And having relations with a Goy is considered a Bia. Be a violation of Gilei Raos. So why does the Gemara say, V'ha Esther Pfehes Yehavya? The Gemara didn't need the Pfehes. Even Betsina, Esther would have to give her life up because of Gilei Raos. So writes the Rivam as follows, the end of the first Y line in Tosfos. V'ha d'lo parach, the very end. V'ha d'lo parach hacha. Why didn't that which the Gemara does not ask? V'ha Esther Arayos have you? The Gemara should have asked, she was one of the Arayos. De kimle de mahani time de karka olam le'inin de lo mechayve le mitzvon atzma mishum Arayos. The Gemara already knew the question and answer. The Gemara knew that karka olam would have been a good answer for Gilei Raos. Oh, wasn't Esther Gilei Raos? She was a married woman. Karka Olam gets her out of that. How does it? So why is it so obvious to Tosfos that Karka Olam works is a good answer for allowing Gilei Raos? We learn from Rotzeach, right? The Hekesh of Rotzeach and Nam Ursa. They learn from one another. The Rotzeach Gufo, and murder, when it comes to Rotzeach itself, Ki Mechayev Limser Atmo, when does a person have to give the life up rather than to murder someone? Hanimile Kodem Sheyar V'Yadayim, in order to avoid killing in an active way. Aval. Hecha de law of Maisa, let's say you're not doing an action. Kigon, Shemashlich and Osa Altinok. The people are going to, the non-Jews are going to throw you on top of a baby, which you didn't do in Maisa. You were very passive. Umismaich, and the baby's going to suffocate. Mistabra Shein Chayav Lismu Atmo. It's logical, thinks Tosos. One would not have to give the life up. Only when there's a Maisa, you have to prevent yourself from the Maisa and give your life up. If there's not an action, you don't have to give your life up. Reb Chaim on the Rambam actually argues on that assumption. He thinks even for a passive act, you have to give your life up. We'll get there, hopefully. And he goes on further, and let's skip a few lines now. That's all explaining why it's so obvious that Gilei Raya, the Karka Olam, would explain Gilei Raya. Karka Olam would tell us why she would not have to give her life up for Gilei Raya. But writes Tosos, Aval, this is six lines down in Tosos, the Y lines, Aval Inyon Chil Hashem Mishum Farhesya Losakadai Tuch the Mahani Taima Karka Olam. We come to a different aspect. The different aspect of Chil Hashem, everyone knew about this. Esther and Achashverosh is Farhesya. That's already a different type of thing. For that, the Gemara didn't know as of yet Karka Olam would be a good explanation for it. Perhaps even Abaye doesn't think, sorry, Rava doesn't think Karka Olam would explain Farhesya. Maybe only Hanas Atzmon would explain why she was allowed to Farhesya. Comes along Abaye and says, no, Karka Olam works also for Averos Farhesya. So the question is, why is it so obvious for Gilei Raos, like Gemara didn't even have to entertain that. Why is it so obvious that Karka Olam will explain why she was allowed to have Gilei Raos, though it wouldn't necessarily explain why it was Professor why it would be permitted? So what comes out from this Tosfos, the Rivam is as follows. Rivam assumes that Gilei, the Gimel of Eros, we said, let's go back to Wednesday Shir. We're understanding what's the nature of Yag Vayavar? Why need someone give up their life for the Gimel of Eros? So one of two ways. Exactly. So which way is the Rivam assuming?
Well, Chamor, because he says by Chil Hashem, would think that.
Exactly. Rivam is mechalik between the Gimel of Eros and Chil Hashem. Obviously, he thinks Gimel Averis is not Midin Chil Hashem. When it comes to Gimel Averis, about the Chomer Havera, it's all about the Maisa Vera. So then it's obvious to Tosfos, Karka Olam, when you're not doing the Maisa Vera, you're very passive, for sure it's okay. The Chil Hashem, which is a different din, Chil Hashem has nothing to do with the Gimel Averis, it's about the advertisement, the event, the Maisa, the public, the Chil Hashem. That the Gemara didn't know yet. And the Gemara says, even Karka Olam will explain why Chil Hashem won't be affected by that as well. But it comes from Tosos, Rivam, that there's a difference. Gimel Averos, therefore, is Midin Chomer Havera, not Chil Hashem. Now you can look back in Rabbeinu Tam and say, why didn't Rabbeinu Tam answer this way? So maybe Rabbeinu Tam argues. Rabbeinu Tam thinks Gimel Averos is Midin Chil Hashem. And the Gemara could never have been Mechalik between the two. What do you mean? That's goof of the question. The Gemara says Chil Hashem, that's also Gimel Averos. Gimel Averos is Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem is Gimel Averos. There's no distinctions. The Gemara had a half minute to think Karka Olam would explain Gimel Averos, and Mimela would explain Chil Hashem, because that's the whole concept behind the Gimel Averos. Everyone with me now? So that's the rest of Tosas is not needed for us right now, but that's what comes out of this Tosas. Those two opinions, Rivam or Rabbeinu Tam. And they have two basic machlokas. One machlokas is Bias Goy a Bia or not a Bia? Or we could view that, is it one of the Raios or not? Nafkamina being what must one someone give their life up or not? Machlokas two is, what's the nature of Gimel Averos? Is Gimel Averos Midin Chomer Havera or Midin Chil Hashem? Rivam, who's mechalik between Gimel Averos and Chil Hashem, would Lechora think it's Midin Chomer Havera? Rabbeinu Tam, who does not answer that way, maybe you want to say, he thinks it's Midin Chil Hashem. Okay, fine. So, there's a lot of organization to do here. I don't want to jump too far ahead until we've seen everything. Let's see. The question is, do we do go into the Baal Mor or not? Maybe we should wait for the Baal Mor still. Wait for you guys to do the Baal Mor and the Melchemes Hashem. Maybe now, just I know it's not a side topic, but just we still have a few minutes. Maybe I'll just do a different related topic. I know it's not part of the flow, but still nonetheless, we mentioned last time, of course, the Gimel Averos, and we have to understand what falls under the category of each of the Gimel Averos. I'll just go through quickly. I was reading this wonderful Sefer, B'chol Nafshecha, a Sefer written exclusively on, it's a fat Sefer written all about the Gimel Averos. And what he does, he organizes it very nicely. So I was reading the piece this morning, he discussed what's considered Avodah Zarah. What falls under the category of Avodah Zarah that one must give his life up. So just 5 minutes to go through exactly what that is. Maybe then another time we'll go through what's considered the Ra'as, what's considered Shvichas Damim. So what's Avodah Mamish? What's Avodah Zarah? So there are five basic Avodahs, really Dalet Avodah, there really four Avodahs, but there's a fifth category also, of violating Avodah Zarah. How does one violate Avodah Zarah? And any of these, someone must give their life up. One thing is Hishtachava, bowing down to an idol. That's one Avodah. You have to give your life up. Two is Zvicha, Shchita, Shechting, an animal in front of an Avodah Zarah, or two in Avodah Zarah. Three, Hakdara, offering the animal, putting it on a fire as on his Beach, of a carbon for the Avodah Zarah. And four is Nisach, which is libations, or Zrika, throwing dam. It's part of the same category. Those are the four basic Avodahs. Again, Hishtachava, Zvicha, Hakdara, and Nisach. And the fifth one, which is not really Avodah, is simply accepting Befiv, accepting upon yourself this type of religion, this Avodah Zarah. Those are five basic ways one violates Avodah Zarah, and one must give their life up to do any of those five. Now there's a whole another category of something, Kederach Avodaso. I mean, the first five I mentioned apply to any type of Avodah Zarah. Even, let's say you had a Avodah Zarah, it's called Avodah Zarah A. And people don't worship this, people don't bow down. This religion doesn't demand you to bow down to this Avodah Zarah. They don't do that. But Reuven goes ahead and bows down to it anyway, you get killed. This religion doesn't demand you to shecht animals, but you shecht animals to it anyways, you violate, and it's Avodah Zarah. Now let's say there's a Avodah Zarah, something called Baal Por. Anyone know what Baal Por is?
Yeah.
Very disgusting type of Avodah Zarah. So someone who goes to the bathroom, defecates in front of the Por, so that violates the Avodah Zarah. Even though it's not one of the five, if it's the unique way to worship this Avodah Zarah, then you violate Avodah Zarah. If you do this worship of Avodah Zarah to a different type of idol, not to Baal Por, to Molech or whatever it is, then you don't get killed. So again, if it's the first four Avodahs, to any Avodah Zarah you get killed for. If it's not one of the four, then you only get killed for doing that Avodah to the particular Avodah Zarah. To Baal Por, there's another thing called Markalis, where you throw rocks at it or something like that. That too, if you do that Avodah to Markalis, that's how they did it, that'd be Avodah Zarah. If you threw rocks at it, any other Avodah Zarah, that wouldn't be a violation. And whatever the Avodah Zarah is, you name it. So that's Kederach Avodasa. You do it the way it's done for that one, even though it's not the four. It's you do that unique Avodah for that Avodah Zarah. That's also considered Avodah Zarah. The Sefer Chinuch writes another extension. What's considered Avodah Zarah? Let's say someone's kofar b'yichud Hashem. Someone denies the oneness, the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You didn't necessarily worship Avodah Zarah. You didn't embrace an idol, but you rejected Yadus. Rejection of Yadus is also considered Avodah Zarah, and one also, the Chinuch writes, must give their life up to avoid, rather than to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist. Let's say, I think I mentioned this last time, the Pischei Tshuva Nyardea Kuf Nun Zayin quotes from the Chuvas Radvaz, Simon Tzadi Beis, who additionally quotes from a Ritva, that says, let's say a goy wants you to violate a mitzvah, violate an avera, not for the purpose of anything other than not to show you that Avodah Zarah is right, but to deny, to show the denial of Yadus, that is similar to the previous case, that too is Avodah Zarah. He said, I want you to Mechal Shabbos, not because I want you to be a Christian, but I want you to be Mechal Shabbos to show that Judaism is not correct. That too, writes the Chinuch, or writes the Pischei Tshuva rather, that too is considered Avodah Zarah, one must give their life up. This is an interesting topic. Let's say reading Apikorsis, heresy, books of heresy. Let's say that topic. Is that going to be, someone puts a gun to your head, read this, let's say the New Testament, or I'll kill you? do you have to get killed and give your life up for that? So interesting, the Mishnah in the beginning of Achelek says, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek, and it goes on, Ve'elu She'en Lam Chelek, and the following don't have a Chelek. Rekiva says, Af HaKorei B'Svarim HaChitzonim, even someone who reads outside books. What does outside books mean? Even such a person doesn't have Olam Haba. So the Gemara in Kuf Amud Beis writes that B'Sifrei Tzedukim, and others have a Girsa of Sifrei Minim, I think, it's somewhere. I can't find exactly where that note takes me to. I usually look it up. Others have Sifrei Minim. That according to one opinion of the Gemara, that means that if you read books of heresy, that you don't get Chelek Olam Haba. The Rambam paskins that way also. You read books of heresy, the New Testament, you don't get Olam Haba. And Lechora, then you don't get Olam Haba, a person should give his life up. Also, to not violate these averes of reading these types of books.
The Rambam doesn't hold that Christianity is all desire, right?
So we'll get to exactly what the religion, different types of, we'll get, that'll be the next point. Now, in terms of how we paskin Halacha, so the Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayos writes, if you're Talmud Chacham and you're allowed to learn the New Testament and others in order to know how to respond to them. Only if you're whatever type of person you are, you have to figure out who's, you know, where you stand. Others, however, think that the Bircha Shmuel and the Kovit Shurim say that one should not at all read any of these types of books, and you have to give your life up for reading any of these types of books. To figure out what is considered, you know, a book of heresy. After New Testament, for sure, is, I don't know what other books would fall under this category. I'm not that familiar. I guess, thank God. The Sefer Bechol Nafshecha deals with, can one sing songs? It might be relevant to you, Meir. If you sing songs of Avodah Zarah, it doesn't mean non-Jewish songs necessarily. That might be a different topic, but we're talking about, let's say, songs of Avodah Zarah. Christian song that praises Christianity and Yashka and whatnot. What about that? So Bechol Nafshecha brings a fascinating story that happened in this, you know, the Holocaust. He's still in the Parsha. A couple of days ago they had Yom HaShoah. So there was a group of people who's in a concentration camp, and the Nazis said to all the little boys, go to that house and you're going to sing a song of Christianity. And they all made them go. And his mother said to this boy, you do not go. And if you go, you better to get killed than go sing with him then. This is what the mother told. So he listened to his mother and didn't go. The Nazis made them sing this song to Christianity, and Rahman al-Tzlan, afterwards, they blew up the building. Now this boy who didn't go there was spared, because he didn't go into that building. What comes out anyways, fascinating story, terrible story, but this boy, the young boy, was saved. That was, the upside of it. Either way, the Bechol Nafshecha thinks it's usher, completely usher, and brings Makoros that to sing songs of Avodah Zarah. Finally, what Mary was talking about, different religions, so I didn't look into it too much. I just used the Bechol Nafshecha, but there are a lot of sources on this topic. He assumes Pasha that Christianity is one of the Avodah Zarahs. Now, to my recollection, I thought it was really a discussion. There might be a distinction between Christianity, Protestant, and stuff, depending whether the three parts, one part, how exactly it works, the system. It wasn't so thorough on this topic. But he says that he assumes Pasha that's one of the Avodah Zarah. Yesh la'ayin into that. Comes to Islam, there's a more famous discussion whether Islam is one of the Avodah Zarahs. The Rambam writes that it is not one of the Avodah Zarahs. The Ran in Sanhedrin, our Sugya, is not our Sugya, but our Masech, the Samech Alpha Mbeis, writes that it is one of the Avodah Zarahs. The Taz and Shach Paskin that it is not an Avodah Zarah like the Rambam holds. Either way, the Ritfus writes that one should give their life up. Because even though Islam is Yichud Hashem, they recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they just think that their Muhammad, the Prophet, came, so now it's basically Avodah Zarah, even though they recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it is Avodah Zarah, one must give their life up for accepting upon themselves Islam.
Why?
Because
of Muhammad?
No, because Islam, he views it as Avodah Zarah. Even though, okay, I don't know all the details, you have to look at it inside, the Ritva just says, even though it's a Yichud Hashem, it's still considered Avodah Zarah. The Ritva doesn't go to elaborate why it's considered Avodah Zarah, probably because it's, even though it's not an idol, it's still rejection of Yadus. That's more so, not because it is Avodah Zarah, but a rejection of Yadus is Avodah Zarah also, basically. That's to my understanding how he holds. And the one last thing which I didn't get to do, maybe we'll do another time, is what about benefiting and getting a cure and healing from Avodah Zarah. We'll get back to that. There are different issues on that topic. The Baal Mor mentions that important Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chaf Hei. There's a little more to talk about on that topic. So that was just based on a nice overview of what's considered Avodah Zarah. At another point, we'll do what's considered Gilei Raos, what's considered Shvichas Damim. Now back to our main sugya. I know it's all related, a lot going on here. So Mir Tashem, tomorrow we'll have the Tcheles guy, and we'll do the Baal Mor and the Ramban, and there's a Ran, and there's a Rabbeinu Yonah. It's endless stuff. But it's a Geshmak sugya, and it's important really to know well.